plate a potential nugget.
Picking up from there, Sukhinda, you talk about the myth of the single choice, and you actually say that, you know, we good careers are actually a result of a number of micro choices and smart risks people take. Just talk to us a little bit, maybe in the context of your journey, if you could give us a sense of what do you mean by these micro risks?
Sure. Well, I think the point in the book is that from outside in again, and from the media, we have this idea of the hero's journey, and what, and even our own memories sometimes fail us, that what we extract from other people's journey and remember of our own is often like the single big choice, right? Which maybe in hindsight, maybe it's easier to identify one choice that was disproportionately important or what have you. But the problem is that it's through abstraction or through hindsight that you might be able to deduce or imagine one choice. The problem is, like, going forward through your life, it's about making choices. And it's the practice of continually choosing, like being in a feedback loop with yourself, essentially, throughout your career, not with a product, not with a company, but with as yourself, that often unlocks each next possibility, right? It's a choosing and choosing and choosing again. And some of these choices are smaller, some of them are bigger. And so while everybody else may remember the one, the reality is it wasn't the one. It was the several, and the several was the 10, and the 10 was the 20. And so it's not about the size of one single risk. It's about the frequency of risk taking and the commitment to sort of, you know, a journey of continuously choosing, including choosing through failure. You know, we think that the failure happens and we stop. Well, actually, it doesn't. What happens is people keep choosing and then they reach their next cycle of growth. And obviously, my career is probably part of where I took inspiration from. I'm not an academic. I'm a practitioner in business. And so in my career, I counted 23 different choices. To become the CEO of a large, you know, multi-billion dollar company. And some of them were micro with outsized returns. Some of them were macro that, you know, created large failures. And some were, you know, macro choices that resulted in almost nothing at all, certainly not the impact I expected. So for me, it was the process of continuing to choose, and some with often with unexpected results.
If I could pick up from there, you spoke about 23 choices. If you sort of maybe force rank them in the decreasing order of what people are likely to miss, you know, some choices are obvious. You go to B school, there's placements. That's an obvious choice. You know, you need to decide. But there are, I'm sure there's a realm of, in the book when I read it, there were a bunch of things that probably isn't even in people's awareness that it's a choice. Could you talk a little bit about those vital few, which are worth bringing back to our awareness?
Sure. And I think that they're, I'm happy to talk about two or three or four from the book that kind of highlight or illustrate this point. One unobvious choice was I left Google at the pinnacle of my career to become the CEO of a startup that was, you know, and at the time I was running Asia Pacific and Latin America for Google. It was a multi-billion dollar business. I was certainly on track to be a Fortune 50 or 100 CEO if I think I wanted that path. And what I really wanted to do was to prove I could build and scale another company and be the CEO then. Like, I didn't want it later. I wanted it then. And I wanted it, you know, and I wanted to go to a new area of innovation in e-commerce. And so I walked away from a very large job to become CEO of a startup. And I think people would say, well, that's not an obvious choice. I don't think it was. And that choice failed when measured by the next 6 months. And I will say this to people, I'm like, you know, 6 months later, I was in a battle with the founder and he wanted the company back and he won. I mean, the board, he said, the board, I want to be CEO again. And the board was pretty quick to oust me in favor of him, despite the fact that my resume, my accomplishments, all of that was, you know, was quite large. But if you measure that choice 10 years later, I pivoted into e-commerce. I became a CEO. I thought that would be the company I'd be, you know, running as a multi-billion dollar company. It ended up with the choice. The number of choices I had to make subsequently continued to double down on this idea of being in e-commerce. I decided to start another company in e-commerce. I became an investor. I became a board member in e-commerce. I just doubled down on that thesis area. And that and the choice to be a CEO were the right ones. I mean, I loved the last 10 years of my life just being in charge. And I ultimately ended up running StubHub, which was another multi-billion dollar e-commerce opportunity. But I just didn't get there the way I thought. So that's one example. Another unobvious choice. I moved to Silicon Valley in 1997, by the way, I did not think I was making the grandest of choices. I thought I was making a choice to go live in a place with really good weather that had good entrepreneurs. I didn't know how to be an entrepreneur, but I think I thought I wanted to be. I didn't have an idea. And literally, I fell in love with the weather and the idea that there were people who were, you know, starting companies. But I could not at any scale by scale of imagination have imagined how good the timing was of that choice relative to the growth of the internet, relative, you know, just where it was in its inflection point. So it gave me many, many, many opportunities to succeed and many to fail. But honestly, what do we call that term in the US? It's like shots on goal, like too many shots on goal. You could fail one and there'd be another good shot on goal just right around the corner by virtue of putting yourself in an environment with tailwinds that are bigger than you imagine. So that was maybe an obvious choice. I quit my job and I thought I was making a micro choice, not a micro choice, but you know, size, it was like, it's not that big a risk. I was only responsible for myself. I had some money in the bank. If I didn't find, you know, a good job in California, I could always go home to my parents in Canada and live with them. Like I don't, you know, other people say that's a big risk. I'd say relatively actually quite a small risk, but with outsized returns. That's an example in the opposite direction. So those are just a couple. And there, I mean, there are many more.
If I may pick an example that stayed with me, I think very early on in your career, you talk about, I think, some bank which says maybe we'll consider you in the future. And you sort of, you take that as an opportunity rather than a rejection and you call them and then it turns into an internship.
It turned into my first job. I definitely was trying to become an investment banker on Wall Street. And I failed at, you know, I failed to get the job after many, many interviews and almost a year of trying. And I think what you're referencing is, they sent me a quasi-rejection letter, a bank that didn't, Merrill Lynch, which didn't recruit in Canada, but, you know, was arguably one of the biggest investment banks in the world. I had applied and they had sort of said, if you're ever in New York, we'd be happy to give you a 15-minute informational interview, which is a very polite rejection letter. And my father was the one who said, hey, buy a train ticket and go. Take them up on that offer. I'm like, they're rejecting me. He's like, well, still show up to say, I am actually going to be in New York. I will come in and see you. And I did. And that converted into a 3-hour interview. And that converted into an offer after a year of getting rejected through all the traditional processes. So yeah, yet another risk that maybe worked out in ways I didn't imagine, right? But it was it was kind of continuing to choose possibility that kind of led to that opportunity.
Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com. If this topic is of interest, you might like to go to the curated playlist section at the podcast website and look for the playlist Navigational Principles.